Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. What do you think of your mother?
What was the question?
What do you think of your mother? I hope on this day you have some great thoughts and memories of your mother. For our mothers provide lots of stuff for us, didn't they? And some of us still have mothers that provide good stuff for us, don't you?
Sure.
Pies, potato salad. That was pretty good on Wednesday night. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah,
it was very good. Very good. Anyway, Mother's Day. It's a good day. It's a good day. And so I would again encourage you to have good thoughts about your mother, and remember the good things that she provided for you. This week I got on the computer and did a little research, and oh my, if you just Google things mothers do, there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time thinking about you women, the mothers, and all the stuff that you do for us. A lot of important things, right? So let me just give you a couple that I found. And you can just sit back and enjoy, because I'm sure that you've done all of these. Personal chef, right, women? Personal chef, you have a child, you have a husband who wants something fixed a particular way, they want it their way, and you oblige them, right? Or do you just order pizza? You probably fix it their way. Head cheerleader. Isn't that the job of a mother? You cheer for your kids, even when they're older. It doesn't stop when they graduate from high school or college. You still cheer them on throughout life. It's a very, very important task for all mothers to do. Housekeeper. In our home, my dad would make charts with chores that we had to do. And they are always good for about maybe 3 to 4 weeks into that rotation, and then we would begin to slip and slide a little bit. And then it would be time for another family meeting. And Mom would help with dividing up the chores of the house. And what we didn't do, Mom would do. And she would always cheer us on whenever she said, go clean your room. So a housekeeper, taxi driver. That's a big one. Hockey moms, they talk about soccer moms, they talk about moms running kids all over to their youth events. That's a big, big, big deal. Personal shopper. How many times, women, have you gone to the store to get something that wasn't for you but for somebody else? Personal shopper. Your kids need a new shirt, new pair of pants, new something, whatever. You do that. Certainly you are a nurse. You take care of the physical health needs of your family. Keeper of secrets. Now, when I read this one, and even now reading it again, I've got to just really, really. Okay, my mother's shaking her head yes, so I'll give her that one. She's a keeper of secrets. We'll talk later. Hairstylist. Hairstylist. I remember as a little boy, if you've never been caught in the vice grip of a mother's hand, holding your face still while she combs your hair, you haven't experienced life. But my mother would grab us on a Sunday morning. She'd grab you right there and just pinch. You didn't dare move. And then she'd comb your hair. She'd comb your hair for you. So thanks, women. Thanks, mothers, for all that you do. Thank you, mother, for being my mother. I invite you to take your hymnal and turn to the reading on page 728. We're going to do something a little different. I want all the men to stand this morning. All of the men get to stand this morning. Page 728. And men, we are going to read this. This is from Proverbs 31, the great book of wisdom, telling us about mothers, women. All right, men, we're going to read this in unison. Oh, and boys. They are. All right. All right, men, we're going to read this in unison, and we're going to read this. And women, I want you to just listen to it. Absorb this passage of Scripture, a book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, tells us about mothers, tells us about wives, talks to us about us, men, as well. All right? A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So men today, whether you're married or all of us have a mother, right? There isn't anybody here that doesn't have a mother. Now, if she's alive today, I want you to call her, say hi to her, thank her for all of these things that she provided for you. Would you do that today? Would you do that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for your plan where you created Adam, you created Eve, you created man, you created woman. And then you said, go out and be fruitful, multiply. And so we are here today because people a long, long time ago have been obedient to that command. And so today we think about motherhood. We think about our moms. What an amazing gift you've given to us. So, Father, we say thank you. Yes, for our mothers, and yes, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And now we give you the opportunity to worship. And this is an act of worship, giving tithes and offerings. We are a church that believes in bringing our tithe to God. And so we do that today out of hearts of obediency to God. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you provide for us. The monetary ones, now we acknowledge as we give to you our tithes and our offerings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Would you stand with us this morning as we begin with Shout to the North?
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You've burned the truth on our lips. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth. May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn to pray. From the mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to You. From the heavens to the nations, hear our singing fill the air. May a light shine in the darkness as we walk before the cross. May Your glory fill the whole earth as the water o'er the seas, from the mountain to the valley, hear our praises rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear our singing, fill the air. From the mountain to the valley, hear our singing, rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear our singing through the air.
You may be seated.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. I'm captured by your holy calling, set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
I like the message that Isaiah, the word picture that he gives to us in that 64th chapter, the 8th verse. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. That means I surrender. I have nothing to do with what he is doing to me and through me. Except I can walk away from him. I can say, take your hands off of me. Just leave me. I trust and I pray that none of you are in that particular spot today, that you are content, you are at peace with God and what He is doing in your life, what He is doing to you and through you by the power of His Holy Spirit as He shapes you, as He molds you. We are the work of His hand. That's a great word. Great word from Isaiah chapter 64. It's prayer time, and we come and we bring our praises to God. We say, hey, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. So you recognize it, you see it, you acknowledge it, and you give God praise. And maybe you've had a challenging week. Well, I'll bring that to Him. God is so big that He is not put off by hearing us. Maybe complain a little bit about some things. Okay? God can handle that. He wants to hear from you. He already knows what you're thinking. So why not just tell Him? Okay? He already knows what you're thinking. Go ahead and tell Him. And then ask for His peace to come in and to take over. And He certainly will supply that for you. So let's come together today in prayer. I do invite you, as we have for many weeks now, to continue to remember Jennifer. And her days are short. Her days are short. So continue to connect with them through cards, letters, no phone calls, please, and probably no visits. But just send her a note in the mail, letting her know that you're praying, that you love her and her family. I invite you to stand as we pray together today. Let's stand in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father. Father, this morning we do come before you and our hearts, our minds are full. We're always thinking. We're always headed somewhere. We're doing something. Father, I just pray for the next few minutes that we'll be able to just slow that process down a little bit. That we can focus upon Your grace and Your mercy, Your goodness to us. That as we surrender to You, the potter, that we can have peace, we can have joy in the process of You making us into Your likeness. That's a great thought. That's a tremendous thought. And Father, for each of us who have come to that point in life, I just would pray a blessing upon each. That again, You would show Yourself in marvelous ways. Where You are at work, let us see You at work. And Father, this morning, we do acknowledge that we live life in a busy, crazy, sinful world. Your Word tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Things are going to come to you, but fear not. He tells us that He's the great overcomer. He's overcome all of that. And when we put our trust and our belief in Him, we too will become overcomers. But the challenges that we face will not bring us down. But we can have that hope, and we can trust, having faith that You are a Heavenly Father who desires to bless us. Father, this morning we reflect on our mothers. We thank You, I thank You for a godly mother. And thank You for her impact upon my life. She has had a great deal of in shaping who I am today. And so I give You praise. And thank You for her godly example that she has given to me, my brothers, my sister, to our children and to our grandchildren. So I give You praise. Say thank You for a mother who loves You. Father, we come to You today again, some of us with burdens. There are several who are kneeling at the altar, and there are things whatever on their mind. Again, we know that You know. But Father, hear their prayers as Your Word tells us that You do. Bring comfort, bring peace, bring resolution, whatever the issues are, whatever life has brought. Again, let them see You. And Father, when it's all said and done, help us to leave this place today and to go out and to shout for joy. Your Heavenly Father have given us an amazing gift in Your Son, Jesus Christ. You've given to us the hope of life eternal with You. That's something we're shouting about. So let us go and to share that good story of the gospel today. Father, thank You for Your love and Your care for us. We acknowledge Your Lordship in our lives today. And we offer our prayers in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Put the mic on the pew. Thank you. Today is Mother's Day. Some of you here this morning are mothers, but one thing for sure is that we all have a mother. So the word spoken this morning will have meaning for all of us, and will have more meaning for some of you. The Bible gives us several examples of mothers. Read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. The Bible from beginning to end is in this relationship that God has given to us. Man, woman, children, mothers, motherhood. Let me just mention a couple of them and the significance that the Bible gives to us. If we're going to talk about motherhood, you have to start with the first mother. The Bible gives us Eve as the first mother. What did she give to us? Well, we could say, well, she gave us sin. That may be a true statement, but I'm sure that Eve gave to her family more than just that. But yet that mistake that Eve made in the garden has affected every mother since. Just read your Bible. Read your Bible and it says childbirth will be a painful experience. Okay, so for those of you who have mothers, and you experienced that, you can blame Eve, right? Just imagine, without sin, it would have been a joyful, peaceful experience somehow, some way. But Eve brought us to this point of needing God. And if your mother has ever done that for you, she deserves praise. If your mother has ever said to you something about your sin in your life, or has ever said something about needing God in your life, putting God first in your life, you need to give her praise. You need to hug her, give her an extra flower, do something for her. Or if she's gone, just say, hey, thank you, Mother, for giving to me that amazing, amazing gift. Our mothers point us to God, our Heavenly Father. And I thank my mother for doing that for me. The second mother I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is Sarah. Sarah taught us a very important lesson. Abraham and Sarah, you know, were childless, no children. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would be a father of a son, that he would be, all nations would be from that son, that seed. And Abraham and Sarah, but we're going to talk about Sarah this morning. She taught us that God hears everything. God hears everything. Now, I have a mother. I'm not going to tell too many stories about my mother because you've probably already heard them from her. But my mother has, you talk about vision 20/20. And if you have 15/20, you're better than normal. My mother, at one point in her life, had better than normal hearing. She could hear things that were two rooms removed. Or she could hear my brothers and me arguing outside. She has the gift of hearing. But Sarah taught us a very valuable lesson, is that God hears everything. When she heard the angel speaking to Abraham about them becoming mother and father, they were going to have a son, and Sarah is in the tent, she reacted to that message. And her reaction was to laugh. Normal response. It would be very, very normal, very within the realm of, that's okay, right? She laughed about it. She laughed at the promise that God had given to her. There's another little valuable lesson. If God has promised you something, never laugh at it. Embrace it. Take it as a promise from God. She taught us another valuable lesson, is that we should never, ever, 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 ever lie to God. Because again, He knows all. She was asked, Genesis 8, chapter 8, verse 15, why did you laugh, Sarah? And Sarah said, I did not laugh. Don't ever say that to God. If you've done something and God confronts you with it, the proper response would be, oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But she said no to God. And God said back to her, yes, you did laugh. Sarah learned a valuable lesson in that moment in time. And it's a lesson that is given to us as well. Never laugh at a promise that God has given to you. And never lie when the Holy Spirit comes and confronts you with a sin in your life or something that you've done wrong. Never lie. Never lie. The third woman that I want to share something with you this morning would be Bathsheba. Now Bathsheba, we could see her as an innocent partaker in the act of adultery, right? David and Bathsheba had an affair. David was married, probably had one or two wives at the time. I didn't do the research to exactly figure it out, but I know that he did have at least one. Well, he had two. Anyway, and then he sees Bathsheba taking a bath, and he goes, wow, that's pretty hot. I want that. And he sends somebody down to get her, and she willingly comes to the king's palace. And the Bible, you can read it. It gives you the rest of the details. You probably already know it. But what lessons in motherhood, what lessons in God does Bathsheba give to us? Well, I believe that Bathsheba's story teaches us about God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. David was confronted by a prophet. He repented. It's a great prayer of Scripture. You can read it. Bathsheba being a partner to that, I believe, also came to that point of repentance, forgiveness, and God's blessings beyond our sin. Now, the Bible tells us that there's no one here today who has not sinned. Okay? So we're all in that boat together. So we come to God and we ask for forgiveness, and He forgives us of our sin. He will do that for you when you ask Him. Another truth of Scripture, and it's told for us in this story of David and Bathsheba, is that God looks beyond that sin. He does not recognize it. He looks beyond it, and He will add His blessings to your forgiveness. Certainly, the circumstances of Bathsheba's pregnancy were not God-pleasing. No, because God came through the prophet Nathan and confronted David about the sin. And certainly, they paid the price with the death of that child. But yet, God blessed David and Bathsheba with the birth of another son who became a king, replacing David. And Scripture would tell us that their son Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. So the message, or the lesson, life lesson from Bathsheba is, confess your sin. When confronted by it, confess it. And know that God will forgive it. He'll put it behind Him. He'll put it behind you. And He will add His blessings to the events of your life. You do not have to live chained to that sin of the past. God will forgive it. It's gone. Move forward. He will add His blessings to your life. And then if we're looking at Scripture and we're looking at motherhood, one that we have to talk about would be Mary. Would be Mary, the mother of Jesus. We see Mary as a young woman, the virgin. When Jesus was about 12 or 13, we see her with a son who remained in the temple. He was disobedient to his mom, but yet he told her that he was about his father's business. I'm sure that was a puzzling event for Mary and for Joseph. But life goes on. And then we see her, when Jesus begins his ministry, we see her telling Jesus what to do. Isn't that the role of a mother? It wasn't one that I read for you this morning, but it is one that I believe that is God-given to every mother, that you should, from time to time, tell your children what to do. And the story is Jesus' first miracle in Scripture. It's the changing the water into wine miracle at the wedding. And we see Mary, this mother of Jesus, God's son, telling her son to do a miracle. Mothers, I hope you know that it's God's given gift, responsibility to you to be involved in the lives of your children. Do not disengage from your children's lives. Be engaged. Jesus was an adult. He began his ministry. So we're guessing he was 30. He was 30-ish. All right? should have been a grown boy by then, right? Independent, doing whatever he wanted. And here he is at a wedding, and his mother steps forward and says, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you take care of this?" And then we see Mary at the cross. And we see Mary there at the foot of the cross as she's watching her son, Jesus Christ, take his last breath. I don't think that's a scene that any mother wants to watch. No mother wants to have that experience. But yet in Scripture it's given to us that Mary was there. And so I will say to you mothers this morning, a lesson that Mary would give to us is that we, you, the mothers, need to be engaged in the lives of your children. Mothers are God's gift to man and a blessing to mankind. All mothers are gifts from God. And the human race is blessed because that was God's plan. My favorite Bible story about motherhood comes from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, you'll see it there. In the years past, I've preached on this. I brought messages on this event. I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning on this. 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. It's a glimpse of a real life situation. Real life. This happened. This is an event that's recorded for us in great detail of real life. It's a man who had two wives. And yes, that was probably the norm a long time ago. Okay, so we're not going to spend too much time or any time talking about one wife or two, but this man had two. One wife was happy and one wife was sad. That's real life, isn't it? Men, are there days that your wife is happy? And then are there days that she's sad? Okay. Women, would you admit that there are days that you're happy and then there are days that you're sad? Yes. So this is a real life story given to us in Scripture. This is a man who had two wives. One was happy, one was sad. One had hurt feelings. The other was involved in verbal abuse of the one with the hurt feelings. That's real life. That's where we live. The husband, thinking he is all wife number two needs. And I chuckle every time I read this. I'll try not to do it this morning. But the husband gave his wife, the one without children, she was barren, she didn't have any children, and wife number one had several. But because wife number two always felt bad that she didn't have any, when it came to the sacrifices and the feeding, the dividing up of the meat, he would always give Hannah a double portion, trying to make her feel good. Never overfeed your wives. It'll backfire on you. Okay? They won't feel good about it. But anyway, this husband, Elkanah, he tried that. And then he says to Hannah, because she wasn't happy still. She was still just weeping and crying. She would not eat. And this husband who was searching for answers said to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Men, don't overevaluate yourself. Okay? If it's important to your wife, it's important to your wife. Don't try to compensate for it. Just accept it. But this is the husband, and this is real life, isn't it? After all, I'm the answer man. I provide. I take care. And then we have a desperate wife making a desperate deal with God. She's praying in the temple. The priest, Eli, thinks that she's drunk. She's had too much to drink. She's mumbling. She's droning. She's moaning. She's probably yelling. She's very, very desperate. And yes, Eli, the priest, the pastor, if you want to say it that way, not knowing what he sees or hears, and being a real man, a real person, that happens to me. I may see something, I may hear something, and not totally perceive what I think I saw or hear. it's real life. This stuff happens. But then the amazing miracle of this passage of Scripture is that God comes through. Why does God come through? What did Hannah do that brought God to the point of answering? Oh, I guess it would be that prayer issue, wouldn't it? God came through, answers the prayer of Hannah, because that's what she was moaning and groaning about. She wanted a son. She wanted a son. She made a deal with God. If you want to make a deal with anybody, you know, there's the movie Damn Yankees, you know, where the guy makes a deal with the devil. Don't make a deal with the devil. Never make a deal with the devil. If you're going to make a deal with God, because He'll answer the deal. Now, the crazy thing is about that is that you're going to have to live up to your end of the bargain too. All right? But Hannah did. She made a deal with God. She said, God bless me. Give me a son. And if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And you can have him. He is yours. All for just the experience of having a son? But that's what she said, and God answered the prayer, and she had a son. His name was Samuel. And Hannah keeps her end of the bargain. When Samuel was weaned, and we don't know exactly the age that that would be, Hannah and her husband make a trek back to the temple, and they hand over their son Samuel to Eli. And more than handing him over to Eli, she is handing him over to God and saying, here, he is yours. Samuel grew up to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, non-king leader of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. Why? All because a mother prayed. All because a mother prayed. Cynthia's going to come and share a few thoughts. As a mother, and I can say as a mother, without a doubt, Cynthia is a woman of prayer. And so she will share a few words with you at this time.
Well, yes, I am a mother of prayer, and I believe deeply in the power of prayer. And I hope you do. I hope that you believe in the power of prayer. I have learned this truth over a period of time, and now believing in the power of prayer is my hope. And it's what keeps me going. It keeps me living. Complete faith in God that He is all-powerful, that He can do whatever He wants, and He's going to, and that His Word is true and powerful is what I live for. Hebrews 4:12 says that, for the Word of God is full of living power. Do you believe in that? Word of God is full of power. So as we pray, we have to build up our faith. Build up our faith and work on it. Like you practice something, you build it up, you practice, you keep doing it. And that way your faith is built up. And we do that through His Word. And we have scriptures that you remember as a child maybe. Maybe it's the Lord's Prayer, or maybe it's the 23rd Psalm. Or all of the Psalms that are in the Bible that David wrote. Our heart cries to God. They're pouring out our heart, His heart to God. Use those to pray. If you can't think of the words to pray, pray His Word. That is a perfect way to pray. Pray God's Word. Start with the Lord's Prayer, the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. Use those words to pray to your Father or to your Shepherd. Before we get on our knees to pray, though, we must make sure our hearts are right with God. David prayed in Psalm 51:1. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. And then verse 7. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And then 17, a sacrifice you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. O God, you will not despise. So humble yourselves. And then 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves under the very hand of God. and He will lift you up in due time. Pray, cry out to God. And that's what I have learned to do. When you cry out to God, you're putting your very life into the hands of the living, powerful God. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? Pray because your life depends on it, and pray because your family's lives depend on it, especially your family, because God gave you your family. They are your responsibility to care for. They're your responsibility to teach. They're your responsibility to pray for. When our Lori was 7 and she was very sick and in the hospital with type 1 diabetes, I felt helpless. I felt fearful for her future. And God gave me the verse in James 5:16. It's the only verse that came to my mind. I said it over and over and over and over. And back then, the verse was, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, the version now that I like is, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and a wonderful result. I prayed earnestly for every one of my daughters. We have 4 daughters. Every one of our daughters then, urgently. And I prayed for Lori, and I knew that God would answer my prayer and that she would have a safe journey through her life, which she definitely has. She's so well and healthy and strong. So as I said, I prayed for my girls and other family members that God brought to my mind. God did not heal Lori from diabetes, and God didn't heal Tony from diabetes, but by praying for them, I was putting them in the hands of the living God, the all-powerful God. He has chosen them. He has chosen you, and He highly treasures you, and He loves you deeply. He created you. He knows your heart. Like Tony said, He knows everything you're thinking. But it's in difficult times that often takes us to our knees in prayer, which in turn strengthens our faith. That helps our faith grow. And we learn to trust God, and we learn to depend on Him and to go to Him first. What a wonderful feeling to have God on your side. You're on God's team. He will listen to your prayers, and He will hug you tight and forgive you if you cry out to Him like Hannah did, like Mary did, like David did in the Psalms, and like Jesus did in the garden. Well, I pray every day for each one of our girls, and they really take great comfort in that. They will call and tell me to pray for something or somebody, and they know I'll do it. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers, the prayers for your family, the prayers for your church family." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Always be joyful, keep on praying, no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Well, do you belong to Christ Jesus? Are you on His team? Well, my prayer for you this morning is Romans 5:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Be women and men of prayer. Oh, thank you.
In the story that's given to us in 1 Samuel, we know that Hannah was a woman of prayer, and we know that God answered that prayer. She had a son, called him Samuel, and as I said earlier, she took him to the temple, and he became God. So he is always God, but she surrendered him to God. And so Hannah's prayer was she got to see the results of the prayer. It's interesting, when you're reading that passage, read farther into Samuel. When Samuel, he was at the temple, that's where he grew up. But when he became a man and he had to choose a city, where did he want to live? He chose his hometown where his mother was. That's pretty neat. I have a mother who chose my town to live. That's pretty neat. But you know what, mothers, as you pray, sometimes you get to see the results of your prayers, and sometimes your children are quiet and you don't know if your prayers are doing any good. All right? Have faith and know that your prayers do. God will answer what you're praying for. I asked several of our young people to participate in a little video that I put together last night and this morning. Some responded, and so I want you just to look at this and know that these are some of our kids. Some of your kids. Technical error.
Oops. And you've been a big inspiration in my life, and you've always been there for me. I want to thank you for just always praying for me and being there and just standing by my side. You're really great. I love you a lot. We love you. Have a happy Mother's Day.
Hey, everyone. Yesterday, Pastor asked me an interesting question. He asked, how have the prayers of your mother influenced and affected your life? And the first question that came into my mind was, well, what do mothers pray for? So I cheated, and I asked Dad, and I asked him, what has Mom prayed for to God on my behalf for my life? And he responded saying that Mother has constantly prayed that I would find the will of God in my life for a purpose, and that He would give me the desire to fulfill that purpose. And I thought on that for a little bit, and I think that that prayer has been answered, honestly, at least so far, and I'm happy to say that. I really am. Every day I enjoy going to work out at West Central Sanitation, and I love seeing my parents there. And to be honest, Mother kind of was the example growing up. You know, she was an accountant and helped out and was very necessary helping Dad. And I always kind of looked up to that, and I always kind of fell into the numbers thing. So I went to school at Olivet where Mother went, and I always told myself I'd become an accountant like my mother and fill into maybe her role in the future. And so far, that's where things are going. So, Mother, I'd like to let you know that I think that prayer has been answered. Hopefully you do, too. And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you so much. I just want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me for my whole life. I've always known that you've been there for me, especially when it's come to the area of prayer. I've known that you have always prayed for my sisters and I, and I just want to let you know how much that's meant to me. I know from when I was little up until now, you've prayed with me and for me through every stage of my life. Whether it was school or friendships, relationships, my career, and most importantly, my husband and my boys. And I just can't thank you enough for praying for me and for being there for me, and specifically for me being a mother now. Just you've always been there with such wonderful advice. And I know there's been things that have come up specifically that I know that I could count on you to ask to kind of partner with me with some extra prayer for my boys. And I really appreciate that. So I thank you and I love you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. Bye.
Hey, Mom. Love you. Happy Mother's Day. I just want to say thank you for all that you've done, but for most of all, for your prayers. I know you pray for us on a regular basis, and that just means so much to me. So thank you, and love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mom. I just wanted to say thanks for being such a great mom and praying for me and always taking care of me, even though I can be a lot to handle, and sometimes I can be a pain. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. Just had a few minutes here in the car waiting for the kids at sporting events and stuff, and just wanted to let you know how much I love you. And specifically the thing that I just can't thank you enough for, and the thing that probably is the most valuable thing that you've contributed to my life are your prayers for me. And I just want to thank you for all the mornings that I know that you're praying for me, and not only just in general praying for me, but you know the specific things going on in my life that I need prayer for. Also those mornings that you've texted me and let me know that you're praying for me specifically or for my husband or for my kids is, again, just invaluable to me. And so just want you to know how much you're loved and how important you are to me and my family. And I just will probably never know the things that you've intervened for me on behalf for me to God, and the things that have gone through in my life or worked out because of your prayers for me. I also want to thank you for raising me who I am, even though we're very different. I thank you for letting me be who God made me to be, and never discouraging me to follow my dreams, even if they've been crazy. But you've always been such a support to me and my family and my husband and marriage and life and career and everything. So I just thank you so much and love you, and happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mom, just wanted to thank you for all that you've done for us, and you've been a big inspiration in my life, and you've always been there for.
All right, mothers, there's just some encouraging words for you. Again, let me encourage all of you to say thank you to your moms today. And if you can, face-to-face, verbally, say thank you, do that. If not, say a prayer and say, hey, thanks, Mom, for all that you've done. And thank your mom specifically for the prayers, her prayers. You may know the answer, you may not know. But know that your moms pray for you, each and every one of you, right? Is it good to know that your mom prays for you? Now, there you go. That's good. You guys are blessed. We're all blessed, aren't we? Please stand. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go and have a great Mother's Day.